She literally wrote an article
I'm
about another woman's trauma.
What the actual fuck, Glamour Magazine? Well, 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 everybody, we are back from vacation. Lauren, mm-hmm. though, is still in her bathrobe, so clearly you're still kind of in vacation mode. What's going on there?
Chandler, thank you so much for asking. I was getting ready for this podcast today, mm-hmm. and I just realized that there are days where I don't want to have to put on an outfit to record with you. I don't want to have to do my hair. I don't want to do glam. I just want to throw on some, you know, under eye concealer and some chapstick and hop on to record. And so I need to normalize the bathrobe.
Well, you look beautiful. I felt a similar way this morning. I was like, the last thing I want to do right now is put on an outfit. Like, disgusting. Right. Like, I put on gym clothes because I need to go move my body. So yeah, I also just have a little bit of under eye concealer on. But you look ravishing. You're glowy, dewy. It looks like your hair is blow dried.
I blow dried it last night. Well, I got home basically with sand in my hair. Should we tell people about our trip?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about it. But first, before we go there, it's not inappropriate to record in a bathrobe, right? Or is it?
I mean, it's definitely an HR violation of some sort. Do you have anything on underneath? Actually, I already know the answer to that question. You don't. You're actually naked underneath that.
No, I have a bra on underneath because I didn't. I just, this has a,
but no underwear?
Waffle fabric. I have underwear on.
Okay, as long as you've got a bra and underwear on, that makes me feel a lot better. I thought you were potentially doing this like full commando except for the robe. And I was just like, this woman lives life on the edge. She doesn't give a flying fuck. Anything could happen. Something could go wrong and she would be naked on air. And it's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm. No. I have undergarments on. I just couldn't be bothered to put on an outfit. And also, I'm more covered than normal right now. Like, usually I have a tank top on.
That's actually true. That's honestly true. And I'm okay with seeing less skin, especially after spending the last 5 days on a beach with you. I've seen plenty of skin from you. I think I could take a heavy breather. So thank you for covering up for today's show.
I do what I can. Charity work comes in all forms. So Chandler and I just got back from Guano Island, which is why this episode is being posted late. Thank you all so much for your patience as you awaited a new episode from us. I will say, I know it's been very Taylor heavy, and so we're excited to bring you a normal episode, just a smattering of general topics.
Mm-hmm. I'm personally excited to talk about something other than Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. Well, and non-Swifties have been having a really hard time. Like, it's been, the past 2 weeks, I would say, have been fairly traumatic for them as they have had to undergo a news cycle entirely Taylor-focused. So the world is rebalancing.
Thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. We're happy if any non-Swifties have even stuck around this long.
It's so true. Okay, but let's talk about our trip just really briefly. Let's talk about the serenity, the peace, the beauty that is experienced on Guano Island.
You know, it's so funny because I did feel like beauty, peace, serenity was all experienced. But then I did read this article that we're going to get into that's all about like how to plan vacations for billionaires. And I had a little bit of a reality check with what I thought was a wonderful luxury vacation for the two of us.
Right.
We're going to get into that.
Nothing will make you feel more poor and middle class and basic than reading this article.
Yes.
It's like you felt like you've just had this luxury experience and then you were reminded about actually how little money you have.
Yes. No, literally, I've never felt more broke. Never felt more broke. Which is probably a good thing for me. I spent a lot of money last month. But we had a great vacation.
Reality checks are stunning.
Yeah. Well, so basically, before a reality check, Lauren and I, we were on Guano Island, which is where we went last year to celebrate 3 million downloads. It's a special place for Lauren and I. You know, it's where we can truly rest. It's gorgeous. You know, there's beautiful white sand beaches. There's like lush jungle. It's wonderful.
The thing about it that I love is it's kind of like feeling as if you have a gorgeous home on a private island.
Yes.
You can just make your own drinks. It's pristine, perfect white sand, turquoise clear water, gorgeous jungle. Like it's so, you just feel like you're so in nature. Mm-hmm. It is not pampered St. Bart's service feeling. It is not Michelin star food. It's really just a place, I think, to decompress and relax.
Yeah.
If you're a person who enjoys stillness and a fresh pina colada, if you need more over the top stuff, it might not be that the place for you. But Chandler and I are very understated, humble women. So
it's
for
so
us,
true.
It was perfect.
It was absolutely perfect. We had our partners join us, you know, after day two. And I think what's funny is that, so Lauren and I were there for the first two nights, just us. Mm-hmm. And then Ben and Kagan joined us for the last three nights, right? Was that how it worked? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's how it worked.
But before this, Lauren and I had a conversation about them potentially joining. And Lauren and I were worried. Lauren was actually more worried that she didn't want them to join too soon because she wanted to have special sister time, just the two of us.
I did.
And let's just say that we ran out of stuff to talk about together, just the two of us, by about hour eight. I had brought some team building exercises, some things to get into, and it was, we had literally cleared my to-do list. We talked about everything from here to there, childhood, future, mm-hmm. everything by literally like mid-afternoon the following day.
Yeah, it was so funny. Like them coming was actually a blessed relief. It was
a blessing.
To have some like diversion, yes. some extra voices. I mean, we just already talked to each other for hours every day already. And so like there's only so much debriefing we can do on the podcast and strategizing before right. it's like, oh, I guess I'm seeing your face again at this meal.
And the other funny thing is that you can either sit privately or you can choose to sit with other people. And so the first time we were like, let's just sit together. And so they put us just together. And then we kind of assumed that the following nights we would be by default sat with other people, but mm-hmm. then they just kept seating us alone. And so it was privately. Like, oh, just us again together, another meal, just the two of us.
I mean, yeah. Now that we're getting into the weeds of it, though, I kind of feel like that's a little bit of the fun of Gwana is getting yeah. those communal experiences, because then you can kind of, once you're done with those meals, go gossip together about the people yes. you just had dinner with.
Yes, yes.
And the funny things they said or whatever. But we got none of that, basically. So it was just right. a lot of us. So it was hilarious. Also,
it was
don't
great.
You feel like, though, that's like... That's kind of common in relationships too. Like I sit yes. down to dinner with Kagan all the time and I'm just like,
right.
what are we going to talk about that no. we have not already talked to death?
Literally. I mean, I'm now at a point with conversing with Ben where I just finish conversations that I'm having in my head out loud to him. And I just start halfway through. He's like, what are you even saying? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm basically just like stream of boring consciousness with him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've completely run out of things to talk about. So, you know, cheers. Can't wait to get married.
Cheers to that. Anything else we need to debrief on this trip other than it did end up, I feel like we've kind of given it a bad rap. It ended up being so fun.
Oh, nothing was bad about it. I think it was just funny that we were like, well, we have enough sister time. And then we were right. like so happy that the boys were joining us. It was a fantastic trip. I feel like so rested. I still feel a little bit hungover, frankly. And after yesterday's travel day, I felt so grubby. It was like I was on the Amazing Race or something. I'm very happy to be home, but it was the perfect amount of time. I got a gorgeous tan. You know, I feel like you and I got to reconnect with each other, with our partners. And I feel like it was so fun to double with you and Kagan, which is something we've never really done before on a trip.
It was so fun to have just this little quattro, the boys together, us. We really connected. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of those experiences in the future. So I'm excited to know that it won't be boring as hell.
I think we should mention, I completely agree, it won't be boring as hell. Anyway, we had a gorgeous trip. We love each other very much. We love vacationing together. We're going to continue doing this podcast together and vacationing on beaches for the rest of our life, hopefully.
It's absolutely correct. I want to talk about Chandler, something that has gone on recently. Moving on from that, we need to get to celebrities, but mm-hmm. I do need to just update everyone on a little drama that's been happening. Okay.
Okay. Please update us.
We were shit talked on someone's podcast. We're not going to say the name. We're not going to say the name. We don't want to give, you know, they would love that. So we're not going to say the name. But at first, I wasn't even going to listen. I ended up listening this morning. And I do actually want to chat with you about it because I think it was pretty funny. So we are going to talk about that on Patreon tomorrow. So we got a ton of DMs. People were like, I can't believe, you know, they're talking about you. Like, can't believe anyone even knows who you are. We can't believe it either. But anyway, I finally listened and I actually really want to debrief with you about it. But we're going to save it for the subscriber bonus episode tomorrow. Just, you know, why it's better to have that conversation with fewer ears, I think.
Yes, I need to listen. I haven't listened to it. Or I need you to at least, you know, give me the retelling. But, you know, I just
can debrief for you.
The more people that hate us, the more we've made it.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I mean, to be honest, I'm just shocked any of these people actually know who we are. Like, right, we were also mentioned on another very popular podcast by two hosts I actually adore. And anyway, it was cute even hearing that they knew who we were because I am fans of them.
Totally. But, okay.
Okay. Moving on, though.
We'll get into unpacking the shit talking about us on tomorrow's Patreon. Look forward to that, everybody.
Get excited. Okay. So what should we get into first? Because there is a pretty big smattering of topics today.
I know. I think the most exciting thing, the thing that I am really excited to talk about is the how to plan vacations for billionaires. But I don't know if that would be just too much back-to-back vacation talk. So we can maybe get into a celebrity topic and then go to that or something.
So I agree. Let's maybe save that for a little bit further in the episode. There's the drama with Sophia Bush and her new partner, whose name Ashlyn Harris was escaping me for a second, the U.S. soccer player. I don't follow soccer, so I had to learn all about this woman this morning as I was prepping for today's episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Should we get into that?
Yeah. So did you ever watch One Tree Hill with Sophia Bush?
I don't know if I'm too old or too young for One Tree Hill, but I think I'm too old.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was like, you might be a little too old for it. And
were you into it?
I don't think I was like allowed to watch it or felt like, I don't know. I watched the full season, like when I was in college, the full like show. So anyway, but I do remember thinking that Sophia Bush was just like so gorgeous. I always loved her. Like her, has such a beautiful face and like her short hair. Anyway, I've just always loved
her.
And
she still is to this day.
Her voice is so cute. Yeah. Yeah.
A very alluring person, I will say. I watched the video. I think she's gorgeous.
Sexy, too. I'd like give her strong, sexy energy.
Let's just talk about how hot Sophia Bush is and conclude this segment. Because is there anything else to say? A little bit of choppy waters. Okay, so beyond her being super beautiful, there is a new cover story in Glamour magazine, okay? The title of which is I Finally Feel Like I Can Breathe is the title, okay? So here's a quick summary for people. In 2023, actor Sophia Bush made headlines when she filed for a divorce 1 year after a storybook wedding. By the fall, it was public knowledge that she was in a new relationship with a woman. The internet seemed to be foaming at the mouth for a scandal, but to those who knew her, it was clear she'd never been more herself. Here, in her own words, Bush speaks to the power of finally learning to listen to her intuition. So basically, in this article, Sophia talks about her experience realizing that her marriage, you know, she needed to get a divorce essentially. And then she discusses her relationship with the former US soccer player, Ashlyn Harris. So what's controversial about this relationship is not just the fact that she kind of had this amazing wedding and then a year later is divorced and with a woman, which is, you know, nothing controversial there, but just I think maybe surprising.
A little drama.
People. Yeah. A little drama, but it's, so basically, do you know about Ashlyn Harris and her ex-wife?
I don't. Okay, I also don't follow soccer.
I learned about these people this morning. So forgive me if I get any of this wrong, but basically this is the timeline, Chandler. And this is what actually is really sad and interesting about it.
Okay.
So Ashlyn Harris was married to the soccer star Ali Krieger. She was with her for 13 years and they were married for 4 years. They adopted two children, one in 2021 and one in 2022.
Okay. So back to back.
This is a family.
Right. And now it's 2024. So this was like, This is a very new situation, new kids.
Yeah, it's basically been 2024 also for like a quarter. So this is a fresh situation. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, sometimes when I hear about like divorces and people leaving each other, when it's just adults to me, I'm just like, whatever. Like, yeah, it's a bummer, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just the jaded daughter of a divorce attorney, but I just kind of feel like, people betray each other and they're, you know, and that's this happens. But I think what adds some complication to the story is they had just adopted two children together. And also, even though Sophia and Ashlyn maintained that there was no overlap, there was no cheating involved, Ali posted on Instagram and basically like refutes that.
Really?
And yes. Okay. So I'm going to kind of lead people through the timeline and then that'll end in this Instagram post.
Okay.
So in June 19th, 2023, Sophia and Ashlyn, essentially what people think is that they hooked up or the sparks flew at the Cannes International Festival of Creativity. This is when people saw them together. They were also pictured at an event together a couple weeks later in early July. And then 3 weeks later, they're pictured again at another party together.
Okay.
Sophia at this time was still married to her husband, but August 4th, so 2 months after that Cannes meeting, Sophia files for divorce from Grant Hughes after being married for 13 months. And then on October 11th, so just 2 months after that, Ashlyn and Allie Krieger filed for a divorce after 4 years of marriage and, you know, 2 years after adopting two children. So what's interesting about the article is Sophia says, like, I have nothing to apologize for. And she like has this quote, and I'm going to kind of pull it up because I think that it brings to bear the quote, the lady doth protest too much, I think, because okay. This is what she says. She says, I don't believe it's my place to discuss details of Ashlyn's circumstances or her children, but I will say that I'm absolutely in awe of her relentless integrity. The way she prioritizes and centers her kids, not only in her life, but in the core of her being, is breathtaking to behold. Here's what's weird about it. It's like this whole article is written by her, and it's like this therapy speak, like a virtue signaling, mm-hmm. like, eat, pray, love. We did nothing wrong. And then I think it's so interesting to use the phrase relentless integrity and talk like what does that I'm even sorry. Mean?
This is where Glennon Doyle like loses me, because it's just like, I don't think leaving your partner in pursuit of your truth, whatever that may be, however valid that may be, means that you have relentless integrity. I think that's just right. A different set of words. It was what you would use. And I'm not saying that the set of words would be like necessarily super negative or negative. It's just like, let's just like save integrity for people winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
I completely agree. I also just think that like, this is where I think that her publicist needs to give her the lesson of like, it's time to say less. This whole right. situation looks really bad from the surface.
Yes.
From people looking in. This is not a time to write like a virtue signaling article for Glamour yeah. magazine. Okay. So, oh my gosh, it's so wild. So then if we go back to the timeline though, on October 19th, 2 months after they filed for divorce, Allie Krieger posts a picture of her and she's playing soccer. And the caption is, preparing for playoffs while in my Beyonce Lemonade era. Okay. So yeah. I think that fully basically yeah. says I was cheated on. Right, like that's what right. the entire album of Lemonade is yes. about. So Allie wow. has basically gone on the record alleging mm-hmm. that this was a full affair. And the other interesting thing is that her brother commented something, and shoot, I don't have it easily pulled up. I wish I did. Oh, wait. No, I don't. Anyway, her brother commented something basically like quoting another part of the album and being like kind of reaffirming the right. narrative that she was right. cheated on.
Wow.
And so I know. So what's interesting to me about this too is Sophia Bush, this is not the first time she's kind of written like a virtue signaling article.
Okay.
The last time, Chandler, was she wrote an article called Why the Rights to an Abortion Matters for Every Person. Okay. So it was an article after Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Okay.
And it was all about, you know, how terrible that was for women. This is what's so crazy though. The centerpiece of that story is how abortion has impacted her and her ex-husband's life. At the time, he was her husband. So let's just listen to this. She says, this moment is nothing short of a national emergency, but these days it also feels incredibly personal because I type this as I look across the kitchen at my husband, a man with whom I am deeply in love, and a man who might never have come into my life nor me into his had it not been for an abortion. Not my experience. I have never had an abortion, but his, an abortion that he and a former partner had, is what got us here.
What?
Literally, why are like
she wrote an article. Who even ran that?
Glamour. This was in 2022. It's like, she literally wrote an article about another woman's trauma.
What the actual fuck, Glamour magazine? It's like, if my boyfriend and his ex-girlfriend didn't have an abortion, then I would have never met him. And how terrible would that be for my life? This is a crisis because women need to meet their partners. And right?
It's shocked. I know, and people online are just like, Sophia Bush is so annoying. Like, the idea that she has now written a new Glamour magazine, virtue signaling, think piece, journal entry to try to make herself look good in the wake of, you know, most likely home wrecking this family after she did the abortion piece about another woman's abortion, also making it clear she has never had one. Right. That for me didn't belong in there.
Well, no, absolutely. That was like, there was virtue signaling in the I've never even had one.
To me, it's like, okay, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but this just seems so odious to me.
It's super odious. And
yes.
And so, you know, yeah. I actually place more blame on Glamour here because I just think that it undermines them as like as a publication to think that this is who they chose as a source, or they chose to run this story with someone who's just like, I'm sorry, like she has a right to speak about abortion, like as every person does, but she's not the voice I want to hear from the most, period, full stop. It's
also the strangest story to use as a way to be the spokeswoman about abortion, because honestly, like, that probably is a lot of women's story. Like, they had a partner who had one partner who, you know, got an abortion. Like, that probably has happened a lot. So it's weird to be like, this very unique experience is something that I'm going to write an article about.
I also just think it's like, it's an interesting argument to choose. Like, if him and his partner had gone through with the pregnancy and he'd become a dad to that kid, like, he never would have met me. Like, that just feels so bizarre to, like, choose as, like, as the... I don't know, as the way into like abortion rights.
It's a reach to virtue signal.
Yes.
And
totally.
And people say like she's just addicted to being like attached to social justice causes. I think basically it's like she kind of says in this article, like, I didn't really want to write this, but it's so important to champion for LGBTQ and all of that, given what we face in, you know, current legislation or whatever. And people are like, she's just like addicted to being associated with this stuff. And that's why she's going on the record about it.
Her journey to coming out as, I don't know if she's like what she identifies as, is real. But I just think that the way that she chooses to like paint it as this, like, I don't even know. I don't even know how to explain this because I just think it's crazy to me. It's just so crazy.
No, anyway. It's so crazy. And it's also kind of cruel, I would say. There's a clip that has resurfaced of Ashlyn and Allie, and it was like them being interviewed. And it came up what Allie's worst fear is. And Ashlyn's like, that I'll leave you. And she's like, yeah, that I'll die alone. And it's just really, obviously, terribly sad. The other part of it, Chandler, okay, listen to this. This is what someone commented. They said, Ashlyn's ex-wife is Allie Krieger, who's a retired women's soccer player and very beloved in the U.S. women's soccer world. I should add that Ashlyn and or Sophia allegedly leaked the news of the divorce to People magazine the same week that Allie, the ex, was preparing for a championship soccer game. Allie had announced her retirement earlier in the season, so it was set to be her last soccer match of her professional career. Not only was it incredibly distracting emotionally and professionally, but it took focus away from Allie's big moment. Seemed like a cheap ply for more attention on Ashlyn's part.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy. And also, we haven't even talked about the kids. I don't know how old those kids were when they were adopted, but that's just like, I don't know. I hope that they're doing everything to like maintain normalcy for their children, because honestly, it sounds like it's very messy, and that's really sad.
Yeah. It's messy, and like that's why I said, like, when adults do this with each other and no kids are involved, I'm just like, whatever, in my head. Obviously, it's hurts like hell for the person experiencing it. It's very real. But for me, it's such a more severe thing when you've like decided to be parents of children.
Nonetheless, parents of children who are adopted, I don't know the background of those, but those children need like stability and unconditional love and stability once again. Yeah.
Okay. The other interesting thing about it,
it's very reckless. And I do think it's reckless.
It's super reckless. I also think though that like Sophia Bush, like she talks about how in the article, she's like talking about how her husband posted for their anniversary and how she felt all this pressure mounting to post. People asking like, where's your anniversary post? Where's your anniversary post? And how she finally posted, but it was like all a lie. And I'm just like, and she talks about how like you have to post for your anniversary essentially, or, you know, everyone will know. And I'm just like, no, you don't.
No, you
like,
don't.
Not everyone posts for every birthday, every anniversary.
No.
That's not true at all. But second of all, like in her last Glamour article, when she was talking about the other woman's abortion, she was talking about how much she loved her husband. I'm looking across the table at the man who is the love of my life. And then in this new article, she's like, that wasn't true at all, essentially. Like, so it's okay. You just sound like a liar anyway.
Right. It's just like whatever fits your narrative more at the time.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to be a hater podcast at all, but I kind of am with the people that are rolling their eyes at this. So anyway, that's my take.
It all came crashing down for me with the abortion think piece. That to me, I like
crazy.
Yeah. Like before, it's just like, this is a sad situation for everyone involved. But yeah, then with that, I'm like, oh, I don't like this character very much.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. I think that revealed somewhat of a weird pattern.
All right, Lauren. Well, let's move on to a couple who, you know, is so far going the distance. And this is WWE's Erica Hammond and the tech billionaire anchor Jane. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right. But he is the CEO, like he used to run product at Tinder, and now he is the CEO of Built Rewards. So I don't know, have you heard of Built Rewards? It's actually very interesting.
I have never heard of Built Rewards.
So it's basically a credit card that you can pay your rent on, so you can earn points like for your rent. Because like a lot of rent, you have to like pay for through like cash or like, you know, check. And with Built, you can like pay your rent through it, and then you get to like rack up all these rewards. So for someone, you know, like me who spends an awful lot of money a year in rent, Built Rewards is something we're looking into.
I just want to say thank you so much to Anchor Jane and Erica Hammond for sponsoring today's episode. We're super excited to talk about their wedding as well and Built Rewards and how it can, you know, earn you the miles and the points with money you're already spending. No, I'm just kidding. They're not actually sponsoring this episode. It just started to sound like they were.
Thank you also to our sponsor from Equinox, because Erica Hammond came up with the knockout workout that is featured at Equinox gyms across the US.
Perfect.
Anyway, a lot of plugs. But anyway, so these two got married in a very lavish ceremony in Egypt. Did you catch any of the photos? Did you see any of this?
I did. And can I just say, I thought it was so pretty. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really beautiful. I mean, the pyramids as a backdrop for your wedding, you can't go wrong. It was just like really spectacular. I also loved the way that they styled the whole wedding. It felt very like interesting, and her dress was really different. It was non-traditional, as they say.
It felt modern and edgy. It just felt like it could have been a Cult Gaia runway show, but also transformed into a wedding, like a Jacques Muse runway show transformed into a wedding. Like, it was so cool. And at first, when I saw the title, I was like, I think I'm going to come at this. Like, I just assumed I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to put on my socialist cap and have the rich take, you know, rich people spending too much money again. But then I saw it and I was just like, you know what? I kind of support this. Like, do we need more billionaires like having big Mindy Weiss, Kathy Hilton events in white tents with tons of florals? Like, is that what we need in the world?
It's funny that you say that, Lauren, because they're not traditional wedding people and they didn't want to spend $20,000 on flowers. The groom even says, you know, why do you have to spend $20,000 on flowers? It doesn't make sense. They wanted to spend their money elsewhere. They planned a pre-wedding safari for guests that was quite expensive. And I hear him. It's like, why do you have to spend $20,000 on flowers when you could spend $100,000 on a pre-wedding safari for all your guests? You know, that doesn't make sense.
Yes, I was trying to tell you, like, why, Chandler, do you need to spend, you know, 10 grand on a bar when you could actually fly your guests to Capri for a week, you know, before your wedding?
Right. Like, let's think outside of the box here.
Maybe we could do a super yacht experience on the Hudson River instead of, you know, a live band. That would be great. Right, let's think outside the box, Chandler, when it comes to your wedding planning.
It's time. I do think it's funny a little bit, just, you know, the way that the extravagance is splashed out. They have this like little teaser video of their wedding, or just like a snapshot video. And and one of like the key frames is like the guy from Shark Tank. And I don't know his name. It's not Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. I forget his name, but is it Kevin? I think it's Kevin something. Okay, keep talking. Well, I'll look it up while you talk.
Look him up. But I just think it's funny because they have this like, you know, 40-second like snapshots of the wedding, and it's just like set to this amazing music. But then like there's also like a sneaky video of that like A-lister guest. And I just thought like it was a choice to include.
Yeah, Kevin O'Leary.
Yeah, Kevin O'Leary.
Honestly, if Kevin O'Leary was at my wedding, like the first photo on my Instagram would have just been of him.
It's like, hey, let's make sure that we get a lot of BTS of Kevin O'Leary to like the videographer.
I had a photo on my Instagram of like the wedding guests, and my caption was, thank God our friends are so hot, or something like that. And I just wish it could have been, thank God our friends are so famous, but I don't know anyone famous.
I know.
It was my crust of bears. I'm happy for these.
Thank God our friends are on Shark Tank. Okay. I will tell you though, the wedding did hit a snag. Do you want to hear the drama?
Okay. I do.
It hit a snag because so they did this pre-wedding safari in South Africa, and they were going to fly from South Africa to the like wedding kickoff party or the wedding welcome party.
Okay. But
as they were traveling to South Africa, their plane was told like it couldn't land or something. And so they were delayed quite a bit. So like the welcome party started at 8 p.m., right? At first, they were just going to be delayed until 11 p.m. And they didn't actually end up arriving at the welcome party until 2:40 a.m. And so all the guests then had to party until 5 a.m. that night, that morning.
Were the guests already there? Was it just their late arrival?
Yes. I think the guests were already there. Maybe it was like the wedding part, like the, yeah, there was already guests there. And so they just like had to like keep the party going until it was like, like literally the party started at 8 or whatever.
Can I be honest and say that's actually a big hiccup and super probably like sets everything off on the wrong note? Because
that's
like
my nightmare.
People need to sleep for the next event.
Literally. It's a marathon. And so, and I think too, this is where for me, you know, as if I were to be invited to something this lavish, it would be like, yes, I'm so excited. We're going to go. We're going to make this happen. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime, you know, and get to the party. Okay. They're going to be a little bit late. No problem. I can eat and drink until for the next few hours, you know, and then the clock keeps moving. And at some point you're at 1 a.m. and they're not showing up and you're like, I'm fucking tired. I'm jet lagged. I don't care how, like, I don't care that these people have invited me. I want to go sleep. It's cold. It's windy. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I also feel like though, like this is when, if you're ever invited on something where like it's a rich person sponsoring you essentially, and you're like there for to be the entertainment and the amusement, I feel like it becomes low key a little bit like work, right? Like you have to be on. Like you're not just there to enjoy because like you've also paid for this experience and enjoy it on your own terms. It's like you're there to also make sure they have a good time. Yes, and so I kind of feel like that's when suddenly like it's like the clock strikes 1 and then 2 a.m. and it's like, all right, we all actually have to put on our red clown noses because we got to now pay for the safari we just had.
I can literally hear the DJ being like, all right, we just got word. They're going to be here in an hour and a half. All right. They're going to be here in 10 minutes, everybody. Let's give them the biggest welcome. Like, and everyone's just like gearing up. And then like 8 a.m., 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Maybe they were on drugs. But anyway, really the wedding looks beautiful. Anyway.
I have a little note on this because I looked at her TikTok. I don't know about any of these people before this morning as well, but I looked on her TikTok and I saw her bachelorette presents. Okay.
Okay.
And this is another time when I was like, I really like this girl. I support her and her wealth and her accomplishments. Yeah. I wasn't trying to tear her down.
What were they?
It shocked me. She did same parts, of course. And she had like a really thoughtful, I thought, what a bachelorette gift. It was like a Dagny Dover carry-on. And then inside of it was just like really nice stuff you would need. Like a really good luxury neck pillow. Like a really good eye mask.
Love
like
the
really
link to
nice
that.
Pajamas, like a workout set, a bikini, like stuff that you'd actually use. And I just felt like I like this girl. And also, by the way, the branding was super cute and personal, but it wasn't so personalized that it was like, these are pink slides with the bride's initials I'm never going to wear again.
Totally.
It just felt like well done. Like she had them in mind. And I just felt like I feel like people use bachelorette gifts, like super rich people, to flex. Like it'll be like, here's your Louis Vuitton coin purse and your Cartier passport holder. And just like, I got you all the cheapest stuff from like, so I can have as many labels as possible in a basket of crap you'll never use. And so anyway, I just appreciated her sensibilities.
That reminds me of like Mary Cosby's brunch at Walter's when she got all the women, like, what did she get them from Louis Vuitton or something? It was like a pen. Or something
was it like a Baccarat pen, a Baccarat crystal or something?
I don't know. It was something where it was like, clearly this was like in the under $250 guest or under $250 like gift guide. Wait, it's funny that you bring this up because I saw this post on Reddit about bachelor parties. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it might be interesting to discuss. Are you down for it?
Yes. Well, I have more to say though on this before we transition
to that. Oh, you do?
Okay,
please. Yeah.
Well, I just think it'd be funny if we tell the story of your tennis bracelet for any new listeners. This is a very brief story, but basically, when I was planning my wedding, I asked Chandler for her wrist measurements, and I was like, I want to do a gold bangle for all of my bridesmaids.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
And she was like, oh, that's really nice. Cause this is when I was like, I think at my jewelry passion fever pitch. So anyway, sure. I was like, I want to do a big solid gold bangle, like a love bracelet for everyone. And I was like, I think I can get it made and it won't be that expensive. Obviously wouldn't be a love bracelet.
Like a knockoff love bracelet.
Whatever. Like a knockoff love bracelet. Bracelet, whatever one wants. Exactly. And then I was like, Chandler, it's going to be so cool. I'm going to have our wedding date engraved on it, on the brace, on the bangle. And I said this to Chandler with a straight face.
You texted it to me.
She was like, maybe I texted you.
Right. I wish anyway, you could find the text messages. Because I think like, I was like, so fun. In my head, I was like, I hope it's on the inside.
Well, who wants a gold bangle with someone else's wedding date on it? Regardless, nobody. even if it's on the inside, it makes it kind of creepy.
It's so weird. But this was peak like me, just like yes smile, Manny. Laugh along, everything's great. Yeah.
No. So I told her I was gonna have Sara from Casita Jewelry make it, my friend. Anyway, she has access to obviously to like jewelers and people that can make that stuff. And it was so funny because I was actually just asking your wrist measurements because I was getting you a tennis bracelet and that was like the big joke. And so for months, Chandler thought I was gonna have custom engraved bangles for all my bridesmaids. And
honestly, I was excited to wear mine, you know, 12/2 2022. I don't remember. What was your wedding date actually?
12/2/22.
Oh my gosh. Well, mine will be 5/2/2025. We're both going to have twos.
That's cool. That's so cute. I love that. Aww. There's something special there for sure. And honestly, I hope I get a gold bangle where I can look down at 5/2/25 for the rest of my days.
I know you want that. I know you literally do.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. No, I was excited for my bangle at that time. I was excited for whatever was going to make you happy. Oh, gun to my head. I was like, I can't wait for the bangle. I'll wear it every day, I promise.
Can't wait for this to fucking be over.
No, and then I was lavishly rewarded because Lauren surprised me with the most gorgeous tennis bracelet ever.
Thank you.
Basically my first piece of fine jewelry.
Yeah, I do what I can. I gave you a taste of something you liked because you sure have gone down the rabbit hole.
I really have. And I earned every fucking carat of that. So
that is very true. Okay, anyway. But do we want to get into the Reddit on Bachelorettes or do we
I think we can bring it to Patreon or something.
So, okay, so moving on from that gorgeous gift I gave you, we want to do a 2-minute debrief on Taylor and Travis at the charity event. And talk about a personal revelation we had about them. For non-Swifties, you can just hit the forward 30-second button 4 times and we'll be done. It'll be over.
We'll be done.
The TLDR is that we saw the cute nuzzly kisses at the charity event. Mm-hmm. We saw Travis doing the Viva Las Vegas thing and Taylor mouthing, I can't, jokingly.
Right.
And I think, Jenna, we realized something. I'll let you share it with our audience.
I had personal revelation while on Guana Island that I shared with Lauren and she completely concurred. Mm-hmm. After digesting this footage, the new footage of Taylor and Travis, what came to me and what I shared with Lauren is that I think that in comparison to all of the men that Taylor Swift has dated, the partners that she's had, Travis to me is the best person to procreate with. He is the best person for her to build a family with compared to Joe and, you know, kind of his struggles. I don't even want to entertain the idea of her having a child with Maddie Healy, like a drug addict, you know, recovered. But, you know, anyway, you know, he's got his own real, like if we thought Joe had problems, like Maddie's got his own real set of issues. When I see her and Travis together and I just think about maybe her thinking about her life, I just really was like overcome with this feeling of like them being endgame together, like them really being it for each other, especially just because like, Travis is just going to make such a great dad. You know, he has his brother's family. He's like very family oriented, clearly. And I'm sure she's just like excited about the prospect of that with him. I don't know. Is this a trad wife take?
No, I think that he really seems like she'll have the most uncomplicated, happy life with him of anyone she's been with. It seems like he's the perfect guy who to be that great, you know, jovial, happy dad and husband. Like,
I see Travis throwing the kids in the pool. I don't see Joe throwing the kids in the pool. I don't see Maddie throwing the kids in the pool. Where do you see who do you see throwing the kids in the pool, everybody?
You see Travis out in the backyard playing t-ball with the kids. Mm-hmm. You see him throwing corn on the barbecue for the friend's party, you know, not reading poetry in the corner with a, right. you know,
stewing somewhere,
a tear running down his cheek. Anyway,
not shooting up.
Not shooting up in the corner.
I need to not absolutely. Make light of drug addiction. It is very sad. It is very sad.
So anyway, TLDR, we fully ship them. We have decided now that we are going to change our tone and yeah. fully get on board with Taylor and Travis. It's kind of like the girlfriend who you weren't for sure about their new boyfriend, but all of a sudden you've fallen in love and you yes. want to be in full support because you think this is her life partner.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And that's where we are at right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to hold on to this.
We're going to try to hold on.
And I do think her seeing her be like, I can't. She's in on the joke, everybody. He's a little cringe, but she kind of loves it. And it's like she doesn't bother her that deeply. She's so happy exactly. and so secure. It doesn't bother her.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah,
our timer's up.
We got timer's up. Let's go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Because we could have gone on. We could have gone on and on. Viva Las Vegas. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And we probably just would have repeated that what we had said in the first 2 minutes. The same thing. Just like the same thing 1,000 times over. Woo, okay. woo. We really need that timer. All right. Okay. So let's talk about this article about planning vacations for billionaires, which obviously, you know, after reading, I felt very humbled by. I didn't even know that this service existed. I mean, I knew it kind of existed, but I didn't really know, you know, all the ins and outs. So it was fascinating to get that, like, from this article. Mm-hmm. So it's all about this, you know, members only travel agency called Sienna Charles, run by mm-hmm. Jacqueline Sienna India. And it's, you know, she's been running this travel agency for the past 16 years, really only serving like the ultra, ultra wealthy.
We found this article to be riveting for us. And yes. I think that it's kind of like Cribs or Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous, like on MTV. Mm-hmm. It's just like fun to get a peek in the world of, you know, worlds of people completely unlike us. Right. And really how the ultra, ultra rich operate, and hearing about the way that their lives are different from us peasants. That's right. Fun to hear about for me.
One of the first questions that this person is asked is, can you describe your average client? And I found this part to be interesting because she says that historically, most of her clients were 55 to 75, you know, finance based in New York. But now they've gotten more like younger people who are in tech, like in the 40 to 50 year old range. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting kind of seeing like that shift. I think she even at one point says like most of them are people who are post IPO. And mm-hmm. I actually would like to incorporate, you know, the post IPO more into my daily repertoire. I don't know about you. Oh, I'm post IPO.
Yeah. Well, you would need to have an IPO to be post IPO. So that's going to be the first step to be able like to say that.
If I have stock, could I also be technically post IPO?
No, I think
no.
Post IPO is like you own a company and it goes public. So that, you know, you have this really crazy exit or whatever it is. I feel like what I found to be interesting from this article was just the way that once you, like, I think there's just such a freedom that comes, right? Like having more money, it seems like that's just something that just gives you way more choices and way more freedom. And like,
yeah,
when most of us are trying to solve for like your first problems are like shelter and when you're older, like water, food, just kind of keeping the lights on. And then once you've like solved for those problems and you're saving towards your future and all of that, you start mm-hmm. solving for like other, like Maslow's hierarchy needs or whatever. And suddenly you start like wanting recreation and diverse recreation and nicer recreation.
Right. Right.
And then I think that like once you have like all of that solved and you can kind of do whatever you want, it's interesting to hear about how these people really live lives that are so spontaneous and mm-hmm. they really kind of just do whatever they want at any given moment. And that's kind of one yes. of the things that she talks about as a challenge. Like they might have said, oh, we want to go skiing in Aspen or skiing in Switzerland in a couple weeks. And they might plan this gorgeous trip mm-hmm. for them with, you know, mm-hmm. specialized restaurants with a chef and all this stuff. And then the day before they might be like, oh, the weather's really good in LA. I think, you know, we're going to stay
yes.
here. And I think that there's just a level of like, you have so much money that mm-hmm. you just get to do whatever you want all right. the time. And it doesn't matter how many people have been thinking about and planning for your next move. If you decide, like she said, like we'll make a Carbone reservation, it'll be hard to get, we'll get it for them. And if you decide last minute that pasta sounds too heavy, you know, they have to figure out a lighter dinner, beautiful right. dinner option on a dime. Mm-hmm. It's just an existence with almost zero friction, right?
Right. Well, that's what, yeah. No, I found that part to be one of the most fascinating bits because there's just no constraints. Because mm-hmm. you're operating at this level, like life just bends to whatever whims and desires.
Yeah.
Like easily, to you easily, mm-hmm. you know, behind the scenes, not easily. But yeah, that's that like type of just like full freedom to do whatever you want. And a lot of times too, these people don't really live anywhere. Like they're just mm-hmm. constantly kind of going from gorgeous experience to gorgeous experience. And it's almost like the way that they travel is so specialized to their needs that it doesn't even feel like, you know, they're like on vacation home because they have all their creature comforts with them at all times.
Yeah. Like they travel with a chef. Like one yes. like she was saying, like, it's not like everyone wants to just be dining out at Michelin star restaurants all the time.
Right.
Like when you're constantly on the go, a lot of these people, they really want to keep their routines and their wellness routines. So they'll travel with their personal chef who will, you know, they might go out once in 2 weeks. And yeah, just kind of like interesting stuff like that. Like also how hotels generally aren't good enough for these people. And, you know, mm-hmm. you and I have grappled with like, where does Taylor go to stay at hotels? I think right, we figured right. out in this article, like, really, really, the ultra wealthy, they stay at these luxury villas where everything is just even basically better than a hotel.
Right, right. Well, and or they stay on like their travel mode, like that's been mm-hmm. personalized. I'm like, we often said that we think Taylor maybe stays on her jet because her mm-hmm. jet is so perfect for her and it's so like personalized. So, there's a lot of talk about, or there's a moment where she talks about how like a lot of ultra rich prefer to actually stay on a yacht versus a hotel or even a villa. And she says, quote, "I find that many hotels are not conducive to a real ultra high net worth situation. They have that trophy penthouse, the $30,000 a night suite, but there's a lot of heavy lifting to get things the way that the client is used to." I'm thinking like, you know, certain types of beds or sheets or, you mm-hmm. know, just like all of like the little things, you know, that they want to be their own pick. Mm-hmm. She goes on to say people want a certain type of water or certain foods or a bedroom that is dark and has 7 beds for their dog. When we have to train the hotel staff to do all that for 3 days, it's inefficient. And by the time the staff is trained, then the client is leaving and you're starting over. So it's like, that's why you just stay on the yacht.
Yeah. Or it seems like there are, she said, these villas that billionaires have built and have these incredible yes. staff at, and they're used to, like, they're not just the hotel butler. It's like, no, it's like a staff of 20 that are used yes. to catering to 2 to 5 people who are the right, clients right. or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. I saw some comments that were like very negative that were mm-hmm. like, you know, how removed from the real world, like what a shallow existence to need everything to be such a specific way, how vapid and how like ungrounded essentially. I'm curious, like if that was a takeaway of yours, like how you felt about it.
I actually just found it to be like pure entertainment. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote, "This is my catnip." because it's just like interesting for me to like think about and talk about because it feels so far away from my like existence or even anybody I know, you know, it's like, we're literally talking about like Lauren Sanchez, Jeff Bezos is like,
right.
Like this is right. how they operate. Like they're so far removed from any rich person that I know. So yeah, it doesn't trigger me, I guess.
It doesn't trigger me either. And I kind of feel like, you know what? It's not like these people are forced to get them the 73 degree Evian water in the crystal glass by the bed. It's not like these are people that are forced to do that work. It's like these are people who actually have signed up to do that work for compensation and they are given a job by this very wealthy person. Yes. A lot of times, yeah. like when you're working for the ultra high net worth, sometimes those jobs can be very cushy because there's less of a worry mm-hmm. about money going so far. And right. it's like, you know, with every employee or whatever. And so I personally feel like these people, whatever, they're spending their money. Other people are feeding their families with these jobs and let them like fly private with their personal chef. Of course, like there's an environmental concern, obviously, but that's above my pay grade. And I don't know. Let these people just enjoy their things as they wish.
To me, it's like watching, you know, a show about mega yachts or something like on Netflix. Like, it's just interesting to like take a peek into the day to day or the logistics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't know. I don't go to like a, you know, burn the rich or whatever type of mentality.
Yeah.
I think too, like where I was humbled was where she said that a lot of people from New York want to go to the Caribbean. And in her opinion, there's just not a perfect product there or not a perfect place there. Were you so humbled by that?
First of all, I felt like I was attacked in this article.
Yes. Like 12 hours after leaving our, what we thought was a perfect Caribbean vacation.
Personally attacked because she's like, there's no perfect product in the Caribbean. First of all, I also will say the island of St. Barts should be like suing this woman for that
literally
comment.
She says the service isn't good.
No, the service is so good. I mean, I would agree with her other than St. Barts. There's no perfect product in the Caribbean. Not that I've been everywhere, but from where I've been, I would kind of agree. But I can't afford a perfect product anyway, so I'm not super concerned about it.
Right.
But yeah, it was interesting. She also, I felt attacked because I'm going to Capri this summer. First time up the Amalfi Coast. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And then she says in the article, she's like, yeah, it's out to go to Capri. The new thing is to go to like an off the beaten path island off of Sicily.
Sardinia.
Or whatever. And I'm just like, Sardinia. Sardinia. Yeah.
Sardinia, excuse like, okay, me. Well, Sardinia. I'm such a plebe.
Yeah. Sardinia.
Sardinia. You got to go to Sardinia, Lauren.
I definitely felt personally attacked. So I'm going to feel, you know, very basic on my vacation to Capri this summer. So embarrassing.
I will say there was one part of the article that strained my credulity, as we say, where she says, okay, clients can contact our company anytime through text, WhatsApp, or email, and we become their go-to for anything luxury or luxury lifestyle related. There's no rules other than everything needs to be right now. We acknowledge all emails within 5 minutes, and all our clients are really nice. We don't take on any jerks because the amount of work and handholding that goes into the back end is really full on. Which I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't buy that every single person just like is super, super nice and, you know, accommodating. Like, I think I kind of rolled my eyes at that.
I think that for her, what she means is like someone who's going to abuse the system and abuse their employees and be outwardly horrible. I'm sure these are very demanding people, but who like hopefully, I think she just means they're at least polite most of the time.
Yeah.
That's like the standard, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway. And she says that they work with like fewer than 100 families in total. So, sounds like a lot of work, but it's not as many as I thought.
It's a fun article if you want to feel poor and if you want to feel like all your vacations are not perfect products.
Yes, 100%.
Chandler, it's been a pleasure being regathered here with you today. We'll be back on Patreon tomorrow with a whole new fresh batch of topics.
Cannot wait. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with us as this episode comes out a little bit later. Appreciate it.
Can't wait to get into the little drama. It's going to be fun.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
See you on Patreon. Bye.
Bye.